In writing an introduction, one is obviously wanting to introduce the reader to the main body of the work. And in this case, I was introducing Bhante's letters. So of course I had to say something about the whole topic of letters and the purpose one might have in publishing them. But what, in a word, were those letters about? At some point it dawned on me that in the end, those letters were about friendship. They were an expression of, bore witness to, illustrated, a friendship between two very different people. Very different indeed, as I tried to express in an opening paragraph. She was middle-aged, Indian, with a Parsi background. She had founded one of the first Montessori schools in India. She painted and meditated and was interested in things spiritual. He was 30, had grown up in England, was now a Buddhist monk living in the foothills of the Himalayas. That autumn he was visiting Bombay to give lectures and to discuss the making of a film. In his spare time, he was writing the last chapters of what would become his magnum opus. Getting to know Dinu was, in a way, relatively straightforward. Trying to bring Bhante into view was altogether something else. Bhante and his life have always interested me, and now, wanting to fill out the glimpses I had gained from reading his letters, I had every reason to try and get a clearer, more comprehensive picture. In his Survey of Buddhism, published in 1957, a bit more than a year after his first meeting with Dinu, he wrote that in surveying Buddhism he was concerned to do two things: to see Buddhism in its full breadth and in its ultimate depth. I was aware that anyone who attempted to write about Bhante and his life would be faced with the same challenge. To see Bhante and his life in its breadth is challenge enough, for his life is, as we know from his memoirs, rich and full, with many significant experiences, meetings, projects, and a creative output that more often might be associated with a number of individuals rather than with just one. Here I'm thinking of his books and articles, lectures and seminars, poetry and so on, and the breadth of subject matter which they cover. But if to do justice to the breadth of Bhante and his life is difficult enough, to try and get a glimpse of the depth is still more challenging. For one can only see to the extent one has that depth oneself, and to the extent that depth is veiled by the limitations of one's own consciousness, one is able only to intuit, to sense something quite beyond oneself. Certainly this is my experience in working with Bhante, and it gives rise to feelings for which we have in our language no adequate expression, though words like respect, admiration, reverence, and deepest gratitude come to mind. These are things, it seems, that in our culture, including in our English Buddhist culture, we do not like to speak about too much, perhaps because we lack the language. And yet if one is trying to do some justice to the truth, one cannot leave it out.